episode 425. Hi, Sarah.
425. And we are live.
I can't believe that. I was just thinking about how I have not touched you since March 11th.
Yeah.
And it just feels so wrong.
Isn't it weird?
I miss your sweet embrace.
Oh, Suze.
Like when you come over, it just feels so weird. Like when you have to drop
something
off.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like that? It feels cold and distant, and that like you're violating social norms of not hugging people. You know, but then it made me think. Then it made me think about how, you know, how you see people in Japan always giving a peace sign, when in like photos and things like that, or when they see each other.
What's that about?
I was thinking about how we are wearing masks now, and you can't see somebody smile, and how things like hand gestures have to then become the, you know, like the
signaling.
The signaling that, you know, everything's cool. Because go ahead.
I was just going to say, I bought a t-shirt or a tank top that says, I'm smiling at you, to wear when I wear a mask.
Yeah.
Although I'm probably not, but I just think it's a cute idea.
Right. Well, you know what? There you go. That's kind of nice. So you, like, don't have to, but then your t-shirt says, like, basically, like, I'm
take
like,
my word for it.
Take my word for it. I'm not a dick, but.
What were you going to say about Ren?
That he met some of my friends, shout out to Courtney and Zach, and he met them, and he said, like, while we were hanging out, he's like, okay, I hope you know that I'm smiling under this. Like, he had to, like, announce it, and he said it felt really weird to not get that kind of, what do you even call that? The cues, like the social, like the feedback, to get that feedback that, you know, hey, I approve of, you know, you here with,
I come in
like,
peace.
My friend. I come in peace kind of thing. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't love it either. Oh, my God. Speaking of things I don't love. But also kind of do love, but also don't love. The Jeffrey Epstein documentary.
Oh, God. I watched the trailer and I'm like, I can't do it.
Susie.
I'm surprised you watched it. Was this not triggering?
Oh, no, it was.
Yeah.
I made cookies halfway through. Because my go-to is no, I just
stress eating.
Straight up stress eating. Because my go-to, I was just talking about this the other day. It's like my go-to is like overeating and like sweets and like, you know,
comfort
binge
food.
Eating, comfort food and all that. Mm-hmm. And I went there halfway through. I was like, gotta eat some cookies. And I didn't even wait. I don't even think I waited for them to get out. Like, they're like half done. And I still was like,
those are the best kind.
They really are. And, you know, and then I was,
well,
it's
four episodes.
Maxing out.
And
maybe a little longer, maybe a little more. Is it just four?
I think it is.
Maybe. I hope
I was
so.
Like, how
we finished number two. But here's the thing.
Tell me what.
Episode number one, that's the real gut wrencher. That's the one that's like, if you could survive the first one, I mean, I don't know what three and four are like, but one and two, because Ren was like, two was more of a follow the money, where it was less about the survivors. But what I want to say about episode number one, there is one of the most beautiful, vulnerable, honest, I don't know, like expressions of like experience from a survivor. One of his survivors that's so, and I think it might be, she says, like, this is the first time I'm really looking at it this way or talking about it like this. And you see that raw moment happen, and it is like, oh, it's powerful.
What does she say?
She says, oh, God, it'll make me cry. I'll try not to cry. I won't cry. She says that before everything happened, she was like this flower. She was this flower that was just about to bloom, that was just blooming. And it was like somebody took that flower and plucked it and stomped all over it and destroyed its, and it is no longer that beautiful. And I want to just reach in there and be like, no, that's not you. And like, and it's
very disturbing when you think about, because I can relate to that. My assault happened when I was 19. Oh. And I felt that same way, that I was just getting started and then somebody like tramples you. And it does make you mourn what someone could have been if the trauma didn't happen, whatever it was, you know? Because you'll never know what their life would have been without that incident or abuse.
Yeah. And you don't want to say that that made them rise to their potential, or because that's an awful thought. You know, sometimes I, you know, I think about, well, what would I have been? Well, so much of what I pride myself in, the thing that makes me who I am, I think, is being a survivor that then was inspired to help other people. And then I think, oh my God, would I be in this position of helping others? Would my life feel as fulfilling? Which is then like, I'm not grateful for it. I don't welcome it, but I guess it's one of those where you can't label it good or bad. It just is.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you can make the best of it, certainly, but
it's awful.
You
so
still
sad.
Have grief about
yes.
having to deal with it in the first place
yes.
and who you might have been otherwise.
Oh, for sure. And I'm saying that as somebody who had resources that she could utilize and did and was able to, like, go through those stages from, like, the victim, survivor, then, you know, and beyond thing. That's not always the case because I wouldn't be singing that same tune. I would be like, what would I have been? How awful. And I see a lot of those girls from the documentary who are saying those kind of things.
In the episodes you watched, did they talk about his girlfriend lady?
Yes.
A what whole is bunch. The fucking deal with that?
We have not learned yet. It is episode two, and you just keep hearing. So she has, you
like
do
a part
you,
of it.
Yeah. So she has a father that was involved in some other lawful behavior where it was like, and he was much older. So there was something about the validation, like the being.
So like daddy issues are we
yes,
saying here?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, 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 yes. Totally mm-hmm. daddy issues. So there's things like
maybe
that going on.
Maybe she's a survivor and
yes,
then, you know, that happens.
Yes. And this sounds so much. So, you know, like Ren was saying, wow, this is so interesting because it has the elements of a pyramid scheme on top of the sex.
Like, for real? Like, oh, did they have to bring in girls?
Yes. Oh. But Susie, this is the same as, and then I was saying, is it really that different? Because it falls in, it's not about sex. It's about power, which is the same thing that those cults, that cults like that are about. And like about this person at the top who's then, finding somebody's weakness or finding out somebody's need and then exploiting it. Finding a way to like, you know, you have this need, I can fill it. And then they exploit them for that need. And that's the same thing that I feel like happens in any situation where you have a narcissist who's, it reminded me of the, what's the one where they got branded?
Oh yeah. Right. What's that called? Nexium?
Nexium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's the same, where it's like, but it's really, it's one of the saddest. And I, there's still questions about where he got all that money and where all, oh.
Right. I want to know where the mm-hmm. money went or where it came from.
Yep. I think they're slow rolling it out, but it is sickening. And
do you think
it
people should watch it though?
To watch. Yeah, I do. I think it's important to. You know, just because it makes you uncomfortable doesn't mean that.
Yeah, it can still be helpful.
Yeah, I do. I think it's really important.
Do you think he killed himself?
Oh, I don't know. I'm suspicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not cut and dry for sure.
Not
I mean, it's become
at all.
Like a meme, of course, now. Right,
but
Twitter
there was,
and stuff, but.
I think it was, I don't know what was going on in my life. Clearly a shit ton because I don't know a lot of the details of what went on. Like I didn't know about a lot of it. I kind of had, and maybe it was because of the subject matter. I was like, I can't go there. I can't,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, yeah, I don't really know, and I don't even have an opinion yet, but I feel like I'm going to have a strong, ask me again in like 24 hours.
Well, I'm sure that's in episode 4. I saw episode 3 was about his pedophile island.
Jesus.
Like, he
Christ.
Owns his own island right. that they called Pedophile
right.
Island.
That, and I was saying that to her, and I'm like, so they there were next door neighbors that were calling the police and reporting him for underage girls. Like, think about how like nosy of an, like how much you pay attention to what the hell your neighbors are doing. Me, not at all. I don't care. No. And think no. about how many girls must have been going in and out of there. And I say girls because they are girls. How much? How many of them must have been going in and out of there for?
I don't think that he had any shame
reported.
Or was
no.
interested in hiding it because he knew that he would get away with it, and yeah. he did for a really long yeah. time.
His entire—he was getting away with things from day one. He became yeah. a professor and had not even graduated college. Lied his way in. And then
right.
had such a good excuse for why he did that that they like kept him. What the fuck?
Yeah.
He is awful. It really
bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
all
that's
right.
what made me mad. There's
yeah,
one thing.
Yeah, that's a downer.
Yeah.
There's one thing.
Made me so
but
mad.
I agree with you. Sometimes I will watch stuff even if it'll make me uncomfortable. Other times
yeah.
it's almost like you have to be in the right frame of mind. And when I watch a trailer, I'm like, I'm not up for this. Yet.
Yes.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm looking at my notes of fun things that I wanted to talk to you about. On a happier note.
Yes.
Costa Rica just legalized same-sex marriage.
They had I'm their so very happy first for
one.
Them.
I feel like that's kind of late in the game, Costa Rica.
True.
You're very, come on.
Yeah, Pura Vida, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Even Susie
right?
knows. Have you been there?
No.
Oh, you're very, you got, you would love it.
I
God,
would
I
love it.
Wait
I
to
need
travel.
To go there.
I can't
know.
Can't wait to travel.
I just saw like, some girl from the challenge, like hopping on a plane, and I was like jealous,
oh,
but not.
Is it Jenny?
Jenny, yeah.
Jenny. Oh my gosh. She's who
uh-huh.
I was looking at too. And I was like,
no.
I felt exactly the same. I'm like, oh man, she went to a restaurant. I'm jealous, but not. I don't know.
But not, right.
Oh. The light just randomly went out in the office.
Oh,
sorry.
Spooky, Sarah.
Spooky.
We are videotaping this as well.
Yes.
Is it, do people still say videotaping? I don't know. Anyway,
I think
we're
so.
Videoing
But I still say
it.
Remote control. And so that
right.
people tell me that's wrong.
We're putting this on Patreon because I did a poll after we released the 420 episode on there. I just did a poll and said, do you guys want more video versions of the podcast, or is it like audio is normally fine? And they overwhelmingly wanted more. So,
yeah, man. Give
if
the people
you
want to
watch,
they want. That actually, that also means that I'm gonna have to, like, I don't know, slap some lipstick and like.
I
know
we got to pull ourselves together.
Got to pull myself together. I just wrapped my hair up, and it was like, there you go. That's what you people get today.
But if you want to watch the video version or all of our video interviews as well, that's at patreon.com/braincandy. That's where we do the live Q&As.
Yes.
We have book club stuff there, author interviews, doodles, pins,
yes.
blah, 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 blah.
So much stuff. You can get lost in there.
I know, it's a lot.
For a deal.
I think so.
I love
we
it.
Have the best in the biz around
yes,
here.
Yes, yes. That was like a commercial for ourselves.
I know, right.
I like that.
Yeah,
like
what
that.
Else is cooking
yes.
in your world?
So, you know, like we all hate Karens now. That's like
yes.
now and forever. However, mm-hmm. there is a Karen in my apartment building that I am siding with because of the aggressive note that was left. And Ren took a picture of it and he was like, well, I agree
You're
with this Karen.
Karen. Tell me.
But
this
only
is
in this sense, do not take that out of context, anyone. Okay, so we live in an apartment complex that is pretty big, and there are one, two, probably like three or four stairwells. Some jerk, dick face, idiot, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, there are like a million. Not respectful. Disrespectful. Mofo, let their dog just take a shit in the, and not like one shit, like there were little,
several,
and like,
shits.
Several shits. And this was like a little dog. Cause it's like those little, like, I feel like it's a Pomeranian. I don't want to be like judgy against
breedist.
I want to be breedist, but it judging by the size of the number two.
Yes.
It looks like one of those dogs.
Pomeranian poo. Pomeranian, sure.
Something like that. Or Shih Tzu, possibly.
Shih Tzu, maybe, shit.
Yes, that, okay. That would make sense. So this is what the sign said. And also, it's gross. Like,
wait,
there's,
where?
It's where in a stairwell. It's between, so like it's the stairs that you take. So we have one of two options. We're on the second floor. We have an elevator. We can take an elevator, but who's taking an elevator these days? I have to touch like four things, even if it's with my foot. Like, it's much easier if we, and it's like one of those push bars to go into the elevator, or not elevator, the stairwell. Just take the stairs down. Go down two flights of stairs. No big deal.
Okay.
Get a little exercise. I need all I can get. And this side. And so we're like all the time almost stepping in this shit. It's like the weirdest place because it's almost like.
You could walk into the stairwell and you would see a pile.
Yes. It's like going down the stairs. Like the dog started on the top step and then kept walking.
Poop in
and
progress.
I don't even care if your dog has a medical issue, then take care of that. Whatever it is. Oh my gosh, I'm getting hoarse. I need a drink of water because I'm getting all worked up.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Where, like, you don't have the decency to clean up after your dog?
No, that's unforgivable. That's
bottom line, you have to clean up after your dog. There you
go.
So,
yes.
This went on there for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. This shit was still in the, and I swear there was more at, like, so somebody maybe did this twice. Somebody put up a sign that said, please be courteous of your neighbors and pick up your dog's poop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exclamation points and pick up all in caps. This is appropriate. Bigger font. Then this has become disgusting. And as a pet owner, this is funny. Pet owner, both capitalized. I don't know why that's extra funny. Like, it's a proper title.
Yes, this is serious, right?
Yes, as a pet owner, you lack... But I also side with this person. Let me also say that. You lack incredible decency and consideration for others by not picking up after your pet, all caps. Accidents happen, but your behavior is unacceptable. So many exclamation points. Please be courteous of your neighbors and pick up your dog's poop. You are not the only one that utilizes these stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That is not a Karen, though. I would
argue. You're right. I mean, I get that. But that's just how it was presented
that
to me.
The person who lets their dog do that and doesn't pick up, that's the Karen.
Amen, sister. Okay.
Because Karens are only thinking of themselves.
You're right. You are right. This is justice. This is a
right. It's an attack on Karens.
It is. Yeah. I love this now. Because I just got a text message from Ren when he was out taking the dog for a walk, and he was like, "What?" It said something. It was something like, you know, like one and only time I'm going to agree. Like, glad Karen took charge of this one. Great work. Yeah, that's what he said. And I was like, "Yeah, like
I get what he's saying though."
You're so right. This is God, and they seem to be on a hot. I mean, like.
Karens think that everyone else is just an accessory to their pleasure and comfort.
Yeah.
And if you get in the way of their pleasure and comfort, then they're going to make a stink, in this case, actual shit on your stairwell.
Can you believe that?
I want to know who it is. Do they not have cameras in the stairwell?
This is a good question. I should find out. Yeah. And the fact that, like, now you're just hearing me complain. Here we go.
I love that.
I know. This is Susie's favorite. And I'm drinking water. This isn't even tipsy Sarah complained. This is just, that's real. That, you know, it goes deep. So during this time, like, we pay extra. It feels like, you know, we pay the rent that we do so we can have the pool and we can have the fancy gym and we can have, like, all the amenities and da-da-da-da-da. Well, we don't get any of those right now. So I feel like, can we just clean up the dog shit?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just, like, make that the bar of, like, can, like, you just, like, instead, since I know you're not, nobody's cleaning the gym, nobody's cleaning the pool, like, I'd like to reallocate my funds towards the stairwell. maintenance,
well,
please.
Well, that's a good point also, is that, okay, the dog owner is clearly the problem.
Clearly.
But why isn't the staff cleaning the stairwell?
And I do understand that they're cleaning public places, but it's like one of those things, like, sometimes there are places where maybe you just forget to clean because, like, nobody's ever pointed that out to you, and you just get used to, like,
sure,
cleaning in your normal cycle. Like, I mean, I don't want to call out my friend, so I will not say her name. But I went over to my friend's house once, and I was like, oh, let me help you clean, like, your house, because I love to do that. And, like, I wiped above the stove, like, that thing on the—what do you call that? That—
well, like the exhaust fan.
Yeah, like the exhaust thing, yeah, up there. And I was like, whoop, never, ever been cleaned ever. But I think some people, like, it doesn't even cross their mind.
Yeah.
So unless it was, mm-hmm, on a checklist. And then also, who thinks that I'm going to need to clean dog shit out of a staircase, off of a staircase? Inside, not even any windows. There's nothing that even remotely looks anything close to outdoors in there.
Yeah.
But it's,
I,
like,
don't
all
get
over
it.
And people have since stepped in it, and then it went, and now it's dried, and now you can still see it. The whole thing needs to be power washed. I'm going to add a note below it that says, like, put a tally mark here if you agree that they should power wash this. Is that, I don't,
yeah,
know.
Yeah, something needs to be done all
something
around.
Something does, you know.
But I get it, I agree with you. This is,
yeah,
the work of a good Samaritan.
Okay, good, good. Well, mm-hmm, I mean, you corrected me. You really opened my eyes to seeing that this wasn't a Karen. So really,
right, we're on
didn't
the same
agree
page
me,
now.
But we're,
mm-hmm,
now we are. Yes, yes, yes.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I think another thing you will be on the same page with me with,
yes,
is things, these elements, or like the idea that we want a happier home right now. That's for sure. Yes?
Yes.
Absolutely. And we're spending so much freaking time in it. I have this Psychology Today magazine that I've had for like months. And I flipped through it, and there's an article that I just kept passing. You know, like when those, you're like, oh, this probably, like, I don't know if I'm really going to like this. It was just titled How to Make a Happier Home. And I was like, I'm good.
Like, I'm good.
Like, I'm good. I'm fine. And so then I really went into it, and I was like, oh my God. This
good advice?
Is, like, amazing. This combines so many of my favorite things, which I hope will be other people's favorite things, which is, okay, like the color theory and like psychology and actual studies and things that impact like mental health and well-being and creativity. And it was like everything wrapped up in one. And so I
love
wanted
it
to share it.
This,
yes,
is great.
Yes. Okay. So there were like the author of this was talking about how we need to create a blueprint for happier, healthier homes, and how how as we are more populated, as people are living together in like smaller spaces, oftentimes the smaller spaces don't really incorporate the things that were really good about those bigger spaces. And we have to kind of like look at that and look at those elements and see and incorporate those more into our design. And so this article talked about five of these design tactics that they say self-reported evidence supporting the beneficial emotional impact of design. So basically five tactics that will lead to emotional benefits just based on design alone. And they're so good. Okay. So number one, and this one, there are a lot of these where it's like, well, yeah, duh. But then you're going to find out why. We're like, why we really like those things. So the number one at the top of their list, or at least first thing on here, is wood. Wood is good, they say. So
wood is good.
Yes. That's cute, huh?
Yeah.
So incorporating any kind of like, and this matches that, and you say it right. How do you say that Scandinavian design
Hygge
style that I love? Hygge. Yes. So
yeah,
that's like one of the elements. But they said in this article that I thought was really interesting that we have to understand what's at the root of that that design element because, like, IKEA, not to call out IKEA, but kind of, IKEA's take on that and their minimalistic looks is sometimes missing some of the elements. So, like, for example, wood is really important. So, like, they're all about those, like, clean wood floors. But you can't replace it. It's not just about the look. We don't just like that because it looks good. Studies show that when we walk on wood floors, that it has it's linked to decreasing blood pressure and increases a general sensation of comfort. And you cannot get that with linoleum floors or vinyl floors that are made to look like wood.
What? Oh, okay.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
It's only completely effective if it's the right material.
Yes. And a 2017 study showed that participants were less stressed and less fatigued in wooden indoor spaces than non-wooden indoor spaces. Even if it's designed to kind of like mimic that, we need almost the touch and the feel. And this is great because I'm like on a wood desk right now. So I'm like touching it and feeling it.
Yeah.
Which kind of then makes me think knock on wood is also maybe like, I don't know, my mind just goes to all those kind of things.
Hey, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know what that really is about.
No idea. Yeah. But it said, so back to like all the benefits of wood, that in wooden indoor spaces, they saw increases or benefits to blood pressure, skin temperature, near distance vision, and heart pressure. And researchers concluded that wood-filled environments had positive benefits for the respiratory and nervous system and helped facilitate restoration after work, which is something that most of us desire in our homes. And
I do desire that.
Right? Especially if you work in your home. I know. So wood is good. And so they said that even though some of these elements, you know, and then in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, but who can afford a wood floor? And that's so expensive and blah, blah, blah. And what I liked about this article is that they said that investing in a wood floor and will pay out long term, like the health benefits and all those kind of things, not only, you know, your own benefit, but will last so
much
longer.
My mom always talks about that because she's a health nut. And she says, you either pay for your health now or later.
Yep.
So
totally. Oh, yeah. You know. Isn't that fun? My mom said the same thing.
Our moms are weird.
I know. Weirdly similar. It is really funny. Yep. And it said that the article said wood, cork, or bamboo tends to pay out in the long term and can last
essentially. Did you say pork?
Cork.
Oh.
Wood, cork, or bamboo. And cork floors are really cool.
Okay.
And they can last a century
with
proper maintenance. Not the same. Needs to be element of wood or nature, like cork, bamboo, or wood.
Okay.
Yes.
Good tip.
Second one, they said, higher ceilings give us headspace. But that one's one where it's like, okay, duh. And I read this and I was like, okay, well, yeah, that's fine. But it's deeper than that. And like, we all know that. Like, we intrinsically know we would love a house with higher ceilings. But could you answer why? Like, why would you guess?
They would just say, oh, it's airier, you know, like you feel like you have more room to grow or something like that.
Oh, right? Well, I do like that you said you have more room to grow because that's kind of more in line. And you know what's so funny? Because, like, when you ask me questions like that, I'm, like, always like, here's my theory. Let me break it down. And you're more like, well, I mean, it could be this. I'm like, wow, totally different when I ask the question.
That is for sure. But that's what I like about you. So
that cracks me up.
So, we're a good match.
It said that higher ceilings don't simply appeal to our sense of beauty. They also influence how we behave. As the room gets smaller, the amount of space we desire for our personal bubble expands. So this one blew my mind. Men in particular seem to crave larger personal space bubbles when they find themselves in low ceiling environments and are more likely to act antagonistically when they feel cramped. This is why they manspread on the train.
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
They didn't say that, but I know that that's what they're implying. Oh my God.
Yeah,
look, I'm getting so excited. The
space,
camera's shaking. Yes.
The more they want.
Isn't, see, I was like, as I'm reading this, I was like, why did I sleep on this article? This is blowing my... I was like, I'm highlighting so much. It's like silly. I'm like, what? The whole article is highlighted. Yes. And it was like it, and so researchers like understand why, and it's like their whole desire to like be able to see the room and feel safe. So it's really just comes down to men's desire to feel that like that they can protect the space. So it's like they need to be able to see, and they need to be able to like, you know, recognize where the food source is. It's like so biological and goes back where women kind of prefer the nest and the small. And doesn't this kind of play into what we're all dealing with right here and right like right now in this quarantine situation? I mean, come
on. So do men prefer bigger spaces more then or not?
Yeah, they like, do.
Oh, they do.
They need the visual, like they say that they need like a visual like perspective. They need to be able to like if they were being chased by a lion, your biological instinct would not to be run into a cave. It would be to climb a tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did they say
oh
lion?
Oh, my God.
Whatever. Chased by lions. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? That's,
I didn't expect to be mad at men during this conversation, but I am. Here we are.
Well, here we are. Have you seen that meme where it's, what's his name, Paul Rudd, where he's like, how'd we get here? I don't know. Like, it's really funny. You have to check it out, but it's very perfect. I'm doing a terrible job explaining it. But yeah. Did you ever think we'd be here? Nope. Nope. Not me. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Not me. There you go. Here we are. Then the other thing was all about the ratio. So like high ceilings, we think, oh yeah, high ceilings, you know, that always sounds good all the time, but that's not true because if you have a high ceiling in a hallway, it can make you feel like there's it's all about proportion. And some designers and architects do this, and like we don't know why. Well, I mean, when they research it and study it, they do. But if you were to ask, you know, me, why do you think like Frank Lloyd Wright's designs are so great? I wouldn't be able to tell you that he uses perspective and like and our like the ratio. Right. I have no idea.
I feel that way about music too. Like there's math involved that I don't understand, but my brain does somehow.
Yeah.
Because your preferences are informed by it, but you don't know why.
Yep. And there are certain spaces that we enjoy having low ceilings in because they create intimacy and closeness, like any place where you would read or in the kitchen where you would have a talk over a kitchen table. Oh, look, it gives me goosebumps. I don't know why. Like, I just love it.
You get excited.
Yes. Because it just shows that, like, I don't know, there's so much connection and there's so much that, you know, I think a lot of times people feel very out of control. And we are so much more in control than we even realize that you can control your happiness in a space by simply, like, changing the well, I mean, you can't physically change the height of your ceiling, but when you're picking an apartment, making that something that's on your list, and maybe you're more willing to, you know, I'm fine with being further away from a grocery store if I get an extra 6 inches in my ceiling height or something, making like where you want to, you know, put your emphasis or things like that. And that makes me feel like this comforting sense of like, I can, you know, control things.
The trouble is that the people that know the most about this are, you know, the people that do the science of consumption. And when you're shopping, they structure the stores so that you buy more.
You're so right.
And so, like, they know way more about it than you do. So, like, you're being manipulated.
All the time.
All the time.
And it's awful once you become aware of that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I move through a Target very with a lot of like self-awareness or like very aware of how I'm being manipulated. And it's almost exhausting
but it still works.
Sometimes. Oh, totally.
That's like, the worst part.
Totally.
Powerless.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
One of my favorite things I ever learned was the butt bump theory. Like, you heard this one?
Yeah. Like when someone gets their butt touched in a store, then they are more likely to leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
If a woman gets her bumps butts with another woman or a shopping cart or something like that, then she usually leaves within like a very specific amount of time. And so they make aisles wide enough to where they ensure no butt bumps. But you don't have to be as specific in men's sections. But then sometimes women do the shopping there. So what? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And the color theory stuff just like is my favorite.
Yeah. What did they say about that?
Ooh. Then, I mean, of course, this led me down the rabbit hole. And then I was like looking at everything. So let me look because I did find an article. It didn't say things about the colors in this one.
I'm surprised.
It talked more about... Yeah, you know, that is interesting. They because I think with color, there's so much that's, and even when I read this from this next article that I have, it's like it could be this or it could be that. Where one of the very so it's more subjective, I think.
Right.
You know, and there yes, we do know, but if you're, you know, from red means something different in Western culture than it does in Eastern culture. So that, I think, is a little bit different. But they do say the one of the last things on the list is you have to make your house housing a verb. So I think in that, it kind of is like the catch-all for like making it your own and like making the space, like even that, making the space your own has psychological effects that are really beneficial. And okay, yeah, let me see this.
Well, because I noticed that like, when I moved out to LA, we rent because most people out here rent. Mm-hmm, and it does change your relationship with your space because, like, you're just not as committed if you might be moving in a few months. So that falls in that category of, like, making it your own. And because there's always distance there if you know that you might leave in a few months or whatever.
Yeah. So this article I found that it was... It's called How Interior Design is Influencing Your Subconscious.
Okay.
And I was like, yes. And so this one did talk about colors affecting your mood. And so to break, like, and this is one of my favorite things. I remember, like, when I was in elementary school, my science fair project was, what color ball does a dog prefer? And wasn't very scientifically accurate, if you were wondering. So, but this maybe is a little more.
Are they colorblind or something?
Yeah, probably. So, like, I don't know. I couldn't test for that. It was like second grade. I didn't know about PubMed, and I did not have access to my peer-reviewed journal articles like I do today. Okay.
I don't judge.
I know. I'm just kidding. Okay, so some colors. First of all, what is your favorite color for a room to be painted? What do you like?
Ooh, painted.
Yeah, like what do you want? Oh, other good thing. Difference between painted and just having that as a... theme, I wonder.
Right. Is this specifically about paint? Because I don't even know what I like.
Right.
You probably
I wonder.
Do.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be like overwhelming if you had just the whatever color is the most dominant in that room, I should say. Mm-hmm. So like what color would you tend to? You don't shy away from bright colors.
No, I guess blue tends to be what I go for.
Blue, it says, blue perpetuates feeling of calm and freshness. This is a good fit for high traffic areas like kitchens and bathrooms.
Okay. I noticed a lot of bathrooms are blue. We talked about that, how everyone does like water themes in their bathroom, like the beach or
so funny.
Whatever.
Yes. This other article that I found in apartments, what is it, apartment therapy? I love that. That used to be a magazine, and now it's just online. But it's great. They went through and talked about how your house has to be something that you experience through the senses, through time, through reasoning or thought or memory, through emotions, both pleasant and unpleasant, and through anticipation and excitement.
What does this all mean?
Right? Isn't that interesting? So we talked, like, the through the senses is kind of like the color. So like recognizing that certain colors, certain textures, certain patterns, like that. The article in Psychology Today talked about how curves are something that a lot of home and interior design shy away from. But there's something that are in nature, they're pretty much the only thing in nature. There aren't a lot of right angles and aren't a lot of strict lines. And so that's one of those things where, you know, maybe minimalism and that kind of like IKEA look has it kind of wrong, where you have to incorporate a little more of those natural elements. And they say curves, 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 where
Sorry to interrupt. I follow this account on Instagram called 80s Interiors.
Oh, fun.
It's so fun. And I noticed a lot of curves because, you know how like there were a lot of like round chairs and like couches?
How about my parent? I was born, my first home that I lived in was a one of those dome houses.
Really?
Yeah, that was the house. That was my parents' house in Topanga Canyon. Wow. I mean, how hippie is that? They lived in one of the, what do you even
it's
call
like
those?
A commune. Hexagon?
Yeah. Like a hobbit house, like one of those dome style living, because that was like a fad.
Right. Yes. That had a moment.
Yes.
And I imagine a lot of the interiors I spot on this account, you'd probably have found in homes like that.
I want to see that.
Oh my God. You would love it because it just, first of all, it reminds me of that time and I prefer those sitcoms and stuff. So it's just comforting, but it's also just fun to look at. It's just pleasing to your brain.
Yes.
And
as much as I hated the Jeffrey Epstein hate everything about him, one of the things that was fun about it was that a lot of it took place in 1986. So they have a lot of footage from that time. And that was the year I was born. And so I'm like, oh my God, that's what the world looked like when I was born. That looks old as fuck. Like,
yes.
It looks so like an ant. Like I'm watching something where it feels like they barely had color television.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
I love it. I love thinking about that. Because if you're too close into your own life, then the changes you don't notice because they're just sort of day to day. So I love reflecting on decades like that. It's
okay,
so
well, this is exactly what they were talking about in that apartment therapy article, because that's what they mean by time and movement through space, is that there's something very comforting when the mixture of modern and antique, or like even just a set choice in one of those, where this is either all modern or this is all antique, like speaks to our soul in a way. And I love the eclectic mix of both of them, of having something old and something new and being able to reflect on that.
Yeah, because the old would like ground it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A foundation. And then the new would be fresh and hopeful.
It says that environments that are steeped in antiques often appear to us to be steeped in backstories. So they give this idea of like, ooh, this is like mystery. But then there's the clean lines and like the elements of like crisp furnishing of like modern stuff gives us a feeling of like, like peace and like, you know, everything's precise. And then there you go.
I remember when we were at the Long Beach Antique Market and I told you that if I could choose a superpower, I would want to choose the power where I could look at an object and know its whole history and like who owned it and where it was and like the life, kind of like Woody in Toy Story. Like, you see his life as a toy. I just think that's fun.
I'm sure some psychedelics can give you that same feeling. I mean, that could be a totally different episode, but I think that that is what happens when you take maybe like mushrooms.
Because you like have this, you like understand the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Good
I don't
times.
Know. I have not done that in that way, experienced that. So
next time we go to Long Beach Antique Market, I'll do some shrooms.
But you know what? But I do think what you just, and I think maybe we talked about this when you said that, is that seems like one of the most adorable and fun like date ideas is like playing that game, like let's go to a flea market wherever you are, let's go to an antique store and make
if you
up
just
stories
walk around a neighborhood you
about
could
yes I mean Ren and I we went to our like first concert together, like not even a concert, it was like some music that was playing in Dana Point, and so it was like a crowd that was like these old like, you know, Dana Point beach bums who were like, and Ren and I were playing what's their backstory and what do all of them do? And we had names for all of them.
I love it.
Oh, it was so fun. And he was so good at it. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the man for me. That we can do this for forever. So it's like doing that for, that's like doing that with objects, I suppose.
Yes. But, I think that's so fun. It gives you a sense of history, but it's playful.
Yes. Yes. What else is on their list?
Wait, what color would you choose?
Oh gosh, like, that's right. I didn't. Well, I love, this is one of the things like, You inspired me with that you said you were taking the master class, doing the master class thing. So I was looking and you know, I haven't pulled the trigger yet because I still am deciding between two that I want to check out. But there was this woman who is an interior decorator, and she's talking about elements of design and lighting and layering and things like that. And I'm like watching this commercial for it. And she says in it that something about, like, if you're a minimalist in your color choices, it just means that you're scared to take risks. And I was like, oh, not true, lady.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that.
I didn't agree with it either. And I feel like it's the ultimate risk is and being able to, like, layer texture and color or texture and patterns and that in a way that's still pleasing. So, like, hey.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people that are big risk takers, they don't need to do it in their house. Like, you did it all over your body, number one.
Yes.
And
totally
also
true.
In your life.
Oh, my God. That was fun. It's funny that you say that about the tattoos, because there's even a quote about that in here. And you're going to be like, what? Yes. So it was this talk about think twice. So this one of the recommendations, or like their five things, was think twice before going minimalist. And so we're talking about some of those things, about having the antiques and like bringing the elements of like the past in. And there was this, like, he's this modernist pioneer, this Austrian-Czech guy. His name is Adolf Loos. So I don't know who the heck he is, but he's just quoted in here. And he said that ornament, he had this essay in 1910 that he wrote called Ornament and Crime, because he believed that anything that was ornamental was like a crime of design. Yeah, he's really annoying. And he said, he suggested that any tattooed Westerner who died incarcerated simply hadn't had time to commit their crimes yet. And I was like, how come I'm reading an article about interior design and somehow they're putting down, like,
you're getting insulted.
I'm getting insulted. But they did say that he's incorrect, and how nature in and of itself is very ornamental and very decorative, and how our eye absolutely loves that, and how we don't like we having detail allows us to take more information in from the scene and in from the picture. And so, you know, Mr. Adolf Loos can fucking can it.
He can it.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So there you go.
By the way, that reminds me, we have a lot of great merch cooking
so
on our
much.
Website.
Yes.
We have a Can It hoodie, as a matter of fact.
I love it.
And you should go to our store. It's on our website, thebraincandypodcast.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter there, where we put the links to the articles we talk about and like discounts and fun stuff. We don't spam you. You'll love it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, no, I Carry love on. This because then I hope that people will then take pictures of themselves wearing the merch. And that's my favorite thing. Oh, well, I was going to show you it, but I can't because I realize it's on the back of the actual computer that I'm looking at right now and being recorded on. But I just put I had my Brain Candy Podcast sticker forever because I'm like, what do I put it on?
Yes.
And then I got my new water bottle and that has a nice design on it. So I was like, don't want to put it on that. And I was saving it for the water bottle. Now I know. Put it on my computer. Oh, I feel
but
so
I
cool
did.
When
I
like pop it up. It looks
me
cool.
Too.
Well, you inspired me, Susie. So.
No, I love that look. Yeah, we have the die cut stickers on our website too.
Yes, they are really good.
Super cute.
I mean, I you'd think I would know, but I saved it for so long that I finally peeled it off and I was like, damn, this is
high
quality,
quality
sticker. Yes.
That is. Nothing but like, the best for
totally,
our Brainiacs.
That's fine. Yes, yes, yes. So this was the last one that I'll mention is they said windows are super important, that seeing is revealing. And duh, we know that. But this one, I didn't have a chance to look it up or didn't bother to. But I wanted to know if you knew what this was. It says, if your windows don't happen to look upon any treetops, you can bring a bit of what they call biophilia, which is a love for nature. I'm definitely using that that word.
You're a biophiliac.
Yes, definitely. Into your view with a window box. What's a window box?
They're just like the things you can plant flowers in that you put on your window.
Oh, my God. Duh. Of all people, I should know this.
Well, maybe you've never had a window box.
Yeah, I've never had a window box. Oh, bless you. That was an adorable little sneeze. No, I've never had a window box. And is that maybe? No, it's not. That's not an East Coast term.
I think they're more prevalent in like New England.
Yeah,
just because they're like the type of houses.
Yeah, the house that would have those. Because it was like you can put up a window box, and then I was like, I'm gonna have to Google window box. Oh, I'll just ask Susie. Whatevs.
So they're saying like if you don't have a good view, you can make.
Yeah. Oh,
I see. Like if you live in a city or something.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought about like, because, you know, going back to like what we can control in our environment and kind of like setting ourselves up, I look for any ways that I can fill that emotional bank account, whatever it may be, whether it's like taking the time to give yourself a nice bath and like do it right, or like putting a little bit of extra effort into,
specifically talk about plants in the house? Like I know they're saying build a window box, but
yeah. Well, they were saying they did mention with the wood that kind of falls into that category. And they said, well, this was when they were talking about the windows, but people who were in hospital rooms where they had views of a tree recovered faster.
Oh my God. I remember this story. I believe that, by the way.
Yeah. Science also says so.
Yeah. When I was in Sunday school when I was a kid, I remember this story that was told to us about there were these two old guys in a hospital and they were really sick. And the one guy had a window in front of him and he could see out the window. And he would always tell the other guy, oh, I can see these beautiful trees and there's a butterfly. And he was telling all these stories about how gorgeous it was outside. And the other guy was jealous, of course, because he wanted to see outside. So the window guy one day had a medical crisis and was calling for the nurse, and the other guy didn't call to get help for him because he wanted the window seat. And so the guy died, and then he got the window seat, and then he would look out and it was just a brick wall.
I knew that. Oh my God. I knew that was going to be the ending, but that's
like,
so,
why did I go to
this
a trauma
is so
church?
Good. No, I think good, that's a really that's... good lesson.
Why?
Because it like it, I do. I think it, there's like trust and not being jealous. That's a good
Don't
one.
Let people die because you want the window.
Yeah, but then I also feel like what this man was so wonderful who, like, described all that. That made me think of that documentary where, like, he tells his brother that he didn't have the horrible childhood that he really had. Remember when?
Yes.
I know.
The lies we tell to preserve ourselves.
Yeah, but in that situation, it seemed okay. But and same, right. It seems okay with the brother. Interesting.
Can you imagine, though, if you, like, moseyed on over and you're like, finally, I get the window. And then you look out and it's just like
That sounds like actual hell. Like, you know, that does. That sounds like an episode of Black Mirror where, like, you get to choose your own hell. And you'd, like, just have to repeat that over and over and over. And every time you'd wake up in a new hospital bed and you'd get the new same lesson, it'd be like Groundhog's Day. Somebody write a story like that. That's great.
I'm still not convinced that this is a story that should have been told to me as a child.
I mean, maybe not as a child, but it does feel like something that I can
like
extrapolate from,
lesson.
Put a nice bow on, and then use with a client someday in like a very impactful way. You know?
Yeah, because
I got a few solid ones, like the what's good, what's bad story. So good. Look that one up. If you haven't seen the Bill Murray documentary, see that. That's where I learned that story. Fantastic. And the other one about the wood chopper and sharpening your axe. And that one's good too. Look that
up. It's like the chore chart. You have some greatest hits.
Oh, that's hilarious. Ooh, what else do we have time for?
Well, I was just going to say, don't you feel like people should leave us a 5-star review?
What, have they not?
I what mean, are you waiting some for? People, but come like, on now. I just want them to know that it means so much to me, and I really hope they does. Do it.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Oh, and if you're wondering if, because this is one I was going to tell you about a while ago, but I forgot to. If you're thinking like, oh, should I do that? Do I even want to? Studies show that when we do nice things for other people, we get a greater like dopamine surge and like feeling of reward than we would do even if we were to do something kind and good for ourselves. So see? There you go. You want to feel better? Leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
You feel better, we feel better. Making the world a better place over here.
Is there anything else you want to say before we go?
Just like, I love you, Sue.
I love you too. I love you too.
Yeah. All right. I'm missing your house. I can't wait to see it in all of its beautiful design elements. I have strong emotions for that.
And I hope we can hug soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. Love you. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.